after a couple of weeks of God speaking to us about worry and getting that out of our lives, amen. Amen. He has something else for us on today that I don't know about you, but I was encouraged just to be reminded of it while reading and studying this scripture. Amen. Amen. When you have Romans chapter number 8, stand and we'll read verse 35 through verse number 39. Amen. When you have it, say, I have the word, and I'm ready to receive it. Verse 35 of Romans chapter 8 says, and I want us to read this in concert. Let's read it together, if you will. Ready? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Again, we need to know that it is expedient, as Paul would say, for you to hear again that which has already been said or preached, amen, or taught. Amen. Amen. We, this morning, have the scriptures before us. And the scriptures are designed there to give us joy. They're designed to give us victory and a confidence for us to be persuaded. Amen. I want to use for a thought, a title, a topic, or tag to this message this morning, be persuaded. Tell somebody, say, be persuaded. Amen. You must be persuaded. Amen. There must not be a doubt in your heart. Because doubt, when we begin to doubt, then fear comes in, and then we're not confident that God will do what he said he would do. Amen. 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 So, be persuaded. We must recognize that the power of persuasion is active in our lives daily. We must be aware and know that it affects us tremendously on a daily basis. Amen. I don't know what persuades you to do things that you do, but guarantee it was something that somebody did, said, or something you read, or something you saw. It was something that persuaded you to do what you did. Something persuaded you to get up this morning and come to church. Amen. Amen. Whether it was knowing that we might have a lunch for you, or whether the problems that you had in your life told you that, you know what, you can't handle this by yourself. Amen. And they persuaded you to get out of the bed and come forward to church. Amen. Yes. But persuasion is so powerful that there's a psychology class that you can take, psychology of persuasion. When you look at persuasion, it is persuasion that persuaded folks that Jim Jones, when he persuaded folks to follow him to a place and drink cyanide and kill themselves. Persuasion. It was persuasion that influenced terrorists to blow themselves up. Amen. In order to maybe kill a few people. Persuasion. Sometimes persuasion comes through the vehicle of a medium or of television, and you sit there and you see what Red Lobster, the commercial, they say they're having, you know, endless shrimp. bunch of folks want to, they're persuaded that I need to gas up and get me some endless shrimp. Or you watch something else and it persuades you, a car commercial, and you say, that's my next car. Because you watched the commercial and they told you everything good about it. But they didn't tell you that you were going to have to pay $800-900 a month. But you were still persuaded that you would work long, hard hours just to afford the vehicle of your choice. Persuasion. So persuasion is powerful. It makes us act out sometimes on impulse. And when it makes us act out on impulse and not on principle, then we sometimes find ourselves with lack. And we find ourselves persuaded to do things that are not right. But when we are persuaded upon the principles of God, they never leave us alone. The principles of God always assures us that God will be there with us even until the end of the world. Amen. I'm persuaded. Yeah. I'm persuaded that with his stripes that I am healed. I'm persuaded. Persuaded of a whole lot of things that I'm going to try to get here and try to talk to you about this morning, because we must be persuaded as we are in the world, as we are in our daily lives and all the activities that we have. We're persuaded that Verizon is better than AT&T or T-Mobile or whatever. We're persuaded, and we'll tell somebody and sell them on whatever brand we use. But what about your Christian brand? Are you persuaded enough that you would share with somebody the God that you serve? I submit to you that there are way too many Christians that are not even persuaded of their God themselves. And so they are jelly-backed and yellow-streaked-backed, and they let people say and do whatever they want to say and do toward them, and they agree with them. I'm not saying you're wrong. Yes, you're wrong. If you're trying to add to or take away from the abilities and the power of my God, I need to let you know you're wrong. Amen. But we try to accept everybody and get along with everybody. He didn't say be a floor mat. He said be peaceable with all men. But I can tell you in peace that you're wrong. Amen. Now it's up to them to get angry. I don't have to. But you're still wrong. Don't change the fact. Amen. But we need to be so persuaded that when you're persuaded, you want to persuade someone else. That is how Christianity, that is how Jesus made disciples. He said to one, he talked to Peter. Peter talked to John and James, and they went to his brother Andrew. Come on and say amen. And then they said, come, the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, she left and said, come see a man who told me everything I ever done. I'm persuaded that he is the man. Are you persuaded that he is the man? See, the reason I'm telling you this first is because if you're not persuaded that he is the man, you won't be persuaded that he'll do what he said he'd do. We need to stop looking at God as we look at humans, because humans will let you down. Humans will leave you by yourself. Humans will not be there to help you or to encourage you or to build you up, but humans will let you go through something and talk about you while you go through it. But God, when you go through something, he won't talk about you while you go through it. He will talk to you while you go through. Oh, we say, well, I can't hear God. I don't know if he's talking to me. Well, the fact that you're getting up every morning and still able to face tomorrow and the next day is the fact that he's spoken a word to your life to allow you another chance and another opportunity to do it. Y'all with me now? So we have to be persuaded of who God is and what he's done. When we begin to look at this particular chapter If I would go through the whole book of Romans, it is a very powerful book. I would admonish anyone to read it. It is the gospel, according to Paul. It is the gospel. It will help you to understand your salvation. It will help you to understand where you are, who you are, how you're in Christ, and help you to understand the power that is invested in you from the power of the Holy Spirit that have sealed you unto this day. Amen. But he goes on, he talks about, opens up with letting us know that first thing, we got to get out of the mindset of being condemned. He let us know that the guilty mind comes from the devil. He lets us know that we ought to walk in the spirit and not according to our flesh. Somebody say amen. He tells us that the carnal mind, if we think carnally, that is death. And it is enmity or a rebel or confederate against God. I wish I had somebody. He tells us that not only that, but we are subject to vanity and we were made that way, but it's all right. Preaching here. He let us know that we can't even pray for ourselves. He tells us that you don't know what to pray for, so the Spirit of God make an intercession according to the will of God for you. I know how to pray. Yeah, you may know how to pray, and some people say, I want to know what kind of prayer I should pray for this and that. Don't worry about it. The Holy Ghost knows. And he prays according to the will of God. Now take that off your list of worry. Don't worry about how to do it. Don't worry about how to pray. Just let the Holy Spirit do it for you. Let him lead you. Let him guide you. I wish I had somebody today. We need to understand that God wants us to manifest as children, as sons of God. Amen? So that we can inherit the things of God. And so he tells us that whenever we go through stuff, we need to know that we are created in the image of God. We are created in the image of Christ so that whenever the fire comes, the fire will realize that you can't burn me. Oh, yeah, that's what he said. That's what he's telling us. He said, for whom he did foreknow, verse 29, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image. The word image is the word icon. The image of his what? Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. So whom he predestinated, he called. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, he glorified. All he's saying now is that don't worry about whatever comes against you. Just as Christ was crucified, you may have a crucifixion, but you surely have a resurrection. Preach it here. Y'all with me today? I hope y'all with me because I'm going to go somewhere with this and it's going to be good for me. I don't know if you're going to receive it. Amen? And so he said that he might be the firstborn. He calls us. He said that we are in the icon, the image of his son. The icon word, image is icon. An icon is kind of like a window, but you put a picture in it. You know, when we grew up, we had these picture windows and we had a picture frame. How about that? I just said it so y'all get the picture because I'm way past some people on that. Amen. But when you got an icon, it's an image that you put in a picture. In other words, it is what God sees. When he sees us, he sees Christ. He sees the picture of Christ. And not only does God see the picture of Christ, but the devil sees the picture of Christ in you too. That's why he gives you hell. All right, okay. It's not that you've done anything wrong. Quit talking about what did I do to deserve it? What did I do wrong? You didn't do anything wrong. You just look right. He said he justified you. It's not that you've been perfect, but he made you look right. And the devil's mad because you look right when you was wrong all your life. Y'all with me today? So he make you look good. You know how it is when you take your picture. Now on your phone, especially the iPhone, they talk about they got the best camera. I like Samsung. But anyway, especially the iPhone, you can fix up that picture. You can take out blemishes. You can make it look real good. Make somebody look. You know how it is. They put their pictures on Facebook and on Instagram, and that ain't really how they look, but they look good on the picture. So what God has done, he's made you look good, even though you don't really look that good. But he made you look good, and you don't look like what you really been through. Hallelujah. You don't look like what you've been through. You've been through hell. You should be smelling like smoke, all the fiery trials that you've been through, but you came out smelling like God.
Have mercy in here. You came out smelling good. You came out after you've been through all of the trials and after your family has suffered. You cried all night. You don't have bags under your eye because God somehow, he took all of that stuff out, put you in a place to make you look genuine, make you look good. He made your picture look authentic when it really ain't who you are. Because you know who you really are. And God know who you really are, but he's not going to let them see. He covers you. Oh, hallelujah. It's more than two or three people should have been happy about that. If I can just get about a 30-member church to go with me today. Amen. And help me to preach this. But he said, whom he foreknew he did, he predestinated. In other words, he already had a plan for your trials. He already had a plan when you go through difficulty, when they talk about you, when your tribulation arises. He already has a plan for you. Already, he said he predestined because he foreknew you. He already knew you were going to go through it. And we're telling God as if he don't know where we're at. God, you know I'm going through this, God. They did this to me, Lord. And now, Lord Jesus, I need you to come down here. He already here. Let me help you out first. He don't have to come down here because he already. And you know something else we do, and I do it sometime too. I can't talk about you, but we say, move God. God don't have to move because he's everywhere. He don't have to move. He's everywhere at the same time. But he already knew what I would go through. He knew what you would go through at 30. He knew what you would go through at 50 and 60 and 70. He knew what you would deal with, what you would go through. And so therefore, even though you think that God don't know, he already knew. And before you got there, he was there. Okay, you don't believe me? Let me prove it. Come here, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God knew that they were going to go in the fiery furnace. They threw them in the fiery furnace. And the moment they got in there, Nebuchadnezzar said, I thought we threw in three, but why is it four? Jesus was already in there, took the heat out of the fire, preaching here, so that when they got in the fire couldn't do them no hurt. It couldn't burn them. Although it burned others, it couldn't burn them, preaching here. There are some things that you go through may have taken others out, but it won't take you out. There are some things that may have hurt others, but it won't hurt you. There's some things that might have killed somebody else, but it won't kill you. Y'all, it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I got about 5 people, and I'm good with that. If y'all just say amen for a few minutes, that I don't care what it is that you go through, God knows, and the stuff that might have taken other folks out, don't you panic because you see other people go through trouble. Don't you panic because you see them fail at their trial. Don't panic, but just know that God will be persuaded that God is on your side, that he'll never leave nor forsake you, that he'll be with you even until the end of the world. I'm preaching better than you saying amen, but that's all right. It's all right. Be persuaded. This is a message of exhortation. Be lifted today. Be lifted. I ain't even gotten to the text what I read. But he tells us that he glorifies us. Then he asks the question. He said, what shall we say to these things? What do you say to your trouble? What do you say to your trials? What do you say to the people who try to do you hurt? Many of us say some stuff that ain't us in the Bible. Maybe one or two of those words. Maybe one or two is in the Bible. But the rest of them, y'all can say amen. I'm the man, or old man, or ooh, man, whatever. But, you know, we're not always telling them what thus said the Lord. We want to be the Lord then. Give them a word. Okay. But we have to understand that what he says here, he says, what do we say to these things? What do we say? If God be for us, I dare you, the next time trouble come your way, don't say nothing else but if God be for us. Yeah. I dare you. How many people said that? Have you ever said it? When things turn for the worst, will you say if God be for us? That's all I got to say to it. Oh, what do you got to say about it? All I got to say, if God be for us. That's all I have to say is if God be for us, then who can be against? Well, maybe you don't want to say it like the scripture said it. Paraphrase it. If God is for me, you might as well be too. Yeah. Tell your enemy that. Right. Tell your enemy God is for me, so you might as well get on the team. Amen. If you can't beat him, come on, you can't beat me, you might as well join. Come on, join the church. Join the Christian League. Come on and say amen. I'm going to jump on over to the text. Verse 35. I've been long enough. Verse 35 said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sore? It is written, for that sake we're killed all the day long, counted as sheep for the slaughter. The first thing we need to understand is that no matter what the condition, y'all with me? No matter what the condition, don't worry about that. Oh, hallelujah. He said that no matter what the condition, be persuaded here. Who shall separate us in all these conditions? Is any of these conditions strong enough to move me? No, better yet, is any of these conditions strong enough to move him? Oh, my grandma said that God is too high that you can't get over. Too wide that you can't go around, too low. Yeah. So we said all of that. All she was saying is God is too strong for anybody to move. So look at the attacks of the life of people when we go through something. He said, shall tribulation. Do you know what the word tribulation means? Tribulation means to be to feel the pressure or to be in pressure or to be in a vice to the point that you are squeezed. Anybody felt the pressure to where it seemed like it squeezed you to the point that it squeezed your mind that you think you're going to lose it. It squeezes you to your health, and it seemed like you're going to die because of whatever it is worrying the mess out of you. I have faced some tribulation, but what we got to understand is that tribulation, it's okay to have it because tribulation works patience. Patience experience and experience hope, and we have a hope that maketh us not ashamed. God will not disappoint us. What am I saying? Jesus spoke to us in John 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you that you might have peace in the world. You should have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We need to know it. Amen. We need to know that even though we're squeezed, we are born and of a few days we're full of trouble. We need to know that those things are going to happen. But guess what? I'm not moved. I am persuaded. This is Paul talking, and the fact that it's Paul talking, Paul said that everywhere I went, every time somebody prophesied to me and they gave me a word, it was always that I was going to be bound up. It was always bad news. Now, if you would always get bad news every time you came to church, you'd stop coming. Paul didn't stop coming. Paul kept going, and he kept preaching, even though they kept telling him that. He said, whatever God's will is for me, I don't care. I'm going to go ahead on to Rome. I wish I had somebody. We need to understand here. Paul said that Agabus, the prophet, took his girdle and said, the one that wear this girdle, he said, you're going to be bound up and taken to Rome. And they begin to weep and the people begin to cry. And Paul said, don't break my heart and don't cry for me. He said, I'm not only willing to be bound, but I'm willing to die for the name of Christ. In other words, Paul was saying that I'm persuaded that I'm doing the right thing. I'm persuaded that I'm living for the right one. I'm persuaded. Oh, come on and say amen. That I'm preaching this gospel and I'm not going to be moved. I'm like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and I shall. I'm going to preach that hard. But he said, tribulation shall distress. You know, distress, the word distress there means a narrow place, it means to be hemmed up by your circumstances. Are you hemmed up by your situation? It seemed like it got, you know, it seemed like you can't get out of this. It seemed like you just, I'm in a place, I'm in a narrow place. I'm caught between a rock and a hard place, and I seem like I ain't going to be able to get out of this without getting hurt. All right. Preach. He says, this condition, We need to know that this condition will arise, but I'm still persuaded. Y'all not with me. One person was with me today. He says, not only that, but persecution. Persecution means this, and I know we always talk about we getting persecuted, and sometimes we've been wrong. It's two left shoes, but we still say somebody persecuting us. But persecution only counts when people come against you because of your relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the only time it really counts. That when people come against you because you're a Christian. You Christians think you're supposed to be a Christian. I ain't perfect, but I'm still that. I'm still his child. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. But he says that when you're persecuted, when people come against you, you still have to be persuaded through it all that his love will remain, that he will not change. His love will always be there. His agape, his sacrificial love, the kind of love that will pull you through those trials and take you through your disappointments, take you through your pain. Y'all with me now? He says that shall famine, the lack of necessary resources, the natural things that we need for this life that we live when we don't have everything that we expect to have, will those things cause you to decide that you don't want the love of God? Well, maybe so. But guess what? He will never stop loving you. You can turn your back. He still loves you. You can be a liar. He still loves you. You can be a whoremonger, a backbiter, whatever you are. He still loves you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. If I had a few people that fell in the category of I'm not perfect, they would understand. Thanks be to God that he loves me in spite of me. He loves me when I'm no good. He loves me when I fall short. He loves me when I don't make it. He loves me when I let him down. God still loves me. He loves me no matter what state I'm in, and I'm so glad he loves me. And because he loves me, he makes me want to do right. Because he loves me, he makes me want to let go of the mess and the stuff I get myself into. Because he loves me, the Bible says, with love and kindness have I drawn thee. I'm going to get there. Maybe y'all waiting for me to get to the end. Huh? Nakedness. This condition, nakedness, means that if you have a lack of clothing, no, we don't have that problem. But there are some people that do. In a state of destitution. Nakedness. He said that if that occurs, that don't mean that he don't love you. Because sometimes we think because we go through stuff that God don't love us. He ain't with us. I'm so far away from him. You're never so far away from him. He is as close as the mention of his name. Y'all with me still? Y'all ain't give up on me yet. He said not only nakedness, but the condition of peril, the threat of imminent and awful danger, the threat of danger. You need to know that, in fact, God is right there with you while you're in the danger. Yes. No matter what you get into, he said that he'll make a way of escape for you. Yes. Y'all still with me now? And look at this. The word sword is the word makara. Where she at? But the word sword is the word makara. I'm just telling you, that's what the word means. And the word sword means the threat of murder. The cold, hard death dealing with an instrument that may set out to destroy you and affect you and even take away your eternal life. Wow. Isn't that something? He said, if you experience this condition, you need to know that it's not that God don't love you, but he loved you already. The word loved as past, he loved you already. Before you got there, because he knew you were going to get there, he still loved you. Yeah. So no matter what, I hope I'm persuading you today. Yeah. That no matter your condition, no matter what you deal with, no matter what you go through, no matter if you feel by yourself, guess what? He still loves you. Yeah. And you're never alone because he's always with you. Preach. Yeah. Oh, yeah, we got to understand that. And then we understand, look at this. He says,
we know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welsh Street Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Pimpty, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Pimpty, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on